Why is Sunday a special day for Christians? The greatest event in human history occurred on Sunday. Jesus rose from the grave on the first day of the week, which is the New Testament term for Sunday. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, Mark 16, verse 9. Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday. Later that day, he appeared to Cleopas and another disciple when he joined them as they were walking to the village of Emmaus. At first, they were prevented from recognizing him as he explained scriptures that had predicted the death and resurrection of Christ. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Luke 24, verses 28 through 31. When he broke bread, Jesus allowed them to recognize him. Although it was late, they immediately returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Luke 24, verses 33 through 35. Jesus breaking bread with the disciples is reminiscent of the institution of the Lord's Supper and anticipates its later observance by Christians on the first day of the week. While they were together, Jesus appeared among them. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." John 20, verse 19. After 8 days, which would be the next Sunday, since the starting day was also counted, Jesus stood in their midst again while they were assembled. John 20, verse 26. Thus, the Holy Spirit specifically states that Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week, and also that Jesus appeared to the disciples when they were assembled on the first day of the week. Except for the creation of light, Genesis 1, verses 3 through 5, during 4,000 years of biblical history, the first day of the week is never mentioned. But the Holy Spirit emphasizes that Jesus rose on the first day of the week. Matthew 28, verse 1, Mark 16, verses 2 and 9, Luke 24, verse 1, John 20, verses 1 and 19. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and the testimony of those who experienced these events, form the foundation of the Christian faith. Paul wrote, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then, last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time." 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 8. Sunday is a special day for Christians because of memorable events on that day. The Holy Spirit came on Sunday. Sunday was the day on which the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, Acts 1, verse 8, and the church was established, Acts 2, verse 47. These events occurred on Pentecost after Jesus returned to his Father, Acts 2, verse 1. Pentecost was celebrated on the day after the seventh Sabbath after the Passover, Leviticus 23, verses 15 and 16. Thus, on a Sunday. The first Christians assembled on Sunday. In the New Testament, Christians came together on the first day of the week to remember Jesus as he had asked them to do by dividing a loaf among themselves and drinking from the cup. This was referred to as breaking bread. Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Acts 20, verse 7. This passage informs us when New Testament Christians assembled on Sunday, and why they assembled to partake of the Lord's Supper. With regard to how the Lord's Supper should be observed, Paul refers to its institution by Jesus. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26. The first Christians continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Acts 2, verse 42. Christians today do likewise. The first day of the week is the Lord's Day. In Revelation 1, verse 10, John says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day." An unusual grammatical form is used here. The only other place in the New Testament where the possessive form of Lord is used is in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20, in connection with the Lord's Supper, which was observed on the first day of the week. This distinctive expression, the Lord's Day, is found in early church history as a designation for the first day of the week, and is presently the common name for Sunday in Greece. The Didache, for example, written between 70 and 120 AD, states in section 14, verse 1, "But having assembled on the Lord's Day, the day of the Lord, you must break bread and give thanks." Many people view Sunday as their day, a day on which they can do whatever they like. But for Christians, the first day of the week is the Lord's Day, a day of assembly with other Christians to remember and worship their Lord. The Christian assembly may not be neglected, because Jesus asked them to do so. Christians come together on the first day of each week to encourage one another and to celebrate his resurrection. This is not to be neglected. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. On Sunday, a collection was held that a Christian was to give as he may prosper on the first day of the week confirms that the regular Christian assembly was on Sunday. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. this was not just a local arrangement, because Paul gave the same orders to other churches. This was not done at home, as some claim, because then there would be no collection at all. And why would it need to be on Sunday? Also, there would then be collections when Paul came, which he wanted to avoid. On the first day of the week, a collection was taken. Sunday is not a Sabbath. For Christians, Sunday is a special day of worship. They assemble to break bread on that day, but the first day of the week is never called a Sabbath in the Scriptures. Jews who became Christians were allowed to continue observing the Sabbath. See Romans 14, verses 5 and 6. There is nothing wrong with resting on Saturday, but Sabbath observance was never a requirement for Christians. When certain Jewish Christians insisted that Christians had to keep the law of Moses, this was rejected by the Holy Spirit. Acts 15, verses 28 and 29. Paul specifically states that one is not to be judged with regard to Sabbath keeping. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17. Let us worship according to the new covenant. Much New Testament instruction is given by prescriptive example rather than by legal definition. A prescriptive example is a normative example, one that is intended to be followed. How we are to worship under the new covenant is made known partially by commandment and partially by examples. Observance of the Lord's Supper, for instance, is commanded by Christ. Do this in remembrance of me. Luke 22, verse 19. This in the command is defined by example. In telling the Christians at Corinth how to observe the Lord's Supper, Paul simply cites the example, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26. When Christians are to assemble to partake of the supper is also defined by example. The foundation is laid by the many references to the first day of the week in connection with the resurrection of Jesus, including an example of breaking bread. It is specifically stated that Christians assembled on the first day of the week to break bread at Troas, Acts 20, verse 7, and that Sunday is the day of assembly is further substantiated by a command that Christians are to give on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. This normative example of the New Covenant was also followed in early church history. Why is biblical instruction regarding Sunday often ignored or misapplied? Although most people in Christendom assemble on Sunday, very few observe the Lord's Supper each week and in the manner prescribed. What is required to understand and correctly apply biblical teaching? Examples are powerful. That is why much use is made of examples as an instructional device in both the Old and the New Testaments. Although the law of Moses contains more direct commands than the New Covenant, most Old Testament teaching is also by example. Jesus asked the Jews, "Have you not read what David did?" Matthew 12, verse 3. And he expected that they would understand certain principles inherent in the example. The historic, poetic, and prophetic writings in the Old Testament teach mainly by example. Parables are also examples. Jesus taught in parables for two reasons: so his followers could understand certain truths, but also so those who had a wrong attitude to God would not understand his teaching. Matthew 13, verses 10 and 11. Spiritual insight is required to understand spiritual instruction. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 13 and 14. Most people in Christendom ignore or misapply biblical instruction because they follow the doctrine of their denomination rather than the Word of God. Referring to such worshipers, God says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. Someone with spiritual discernment will worship the Lord according to His Word that provides guidance both by command and by prescriptive example. On Sunday, Christians celebrate Christ's resurrection. For us, Sunday is a very special day, the Lord's Day. On that day, Jesus rose from the grave. Mark 16, verse 9. He was recognized when he broke bread with two disciples, Luke 24, verses 30 and 31. And he revealed himself to his disciples while they were assembled, John 20, verses 19 and 26. On Sunday, the Holy Spirit came, and the church was established. For 2,000 years, Christians have assembled on the first day of the week to break bread and to joyously commemorate the resurrection of Christ. Amen.